Everyone's asleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most disorganized 2 hours in talk radio, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's a show that realizes that we're not professional and we don't I don't know what rules are, really, or have a terribly large amount of respect for them, or professionalism for that matter. And yet, I seem to put all those professionals in the mainstream media game to shame, don't I? Because they need an entire media apparatus with millions of dollars to do what I do by myself with virtually nothing. Today, I have a very special guest, a man who's been on a number of times that we always love, Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, welcome to the program.
Vinny, good afternoon, and thank you so much for letting me be with you today on such an important time.
It is. And have you noticed that in the end, everything goes back to the beginning? And I'm thinking you're coming really to the end of your lifespan now, and what sort of woke you up to this whole system and made you who you are, kind of thing, in the movement today, was your experiences with Gull Island and your book itself, The Energy Non-Crisis. And I've interviewed you a number of times, Lindsay, and we've referenced The Energy Non-Crisis and your time in Gull Island and what have you, but we mostly focused on future predictions and your contacts with your elite friends, that sort of thing. But today I did in fact want to specifically sort of travel back in time, as it were, with you to the energy non-crisis and Gull Island. So I don't know if you're willing to talk about it today. That'd be cool, Lindsay.
Well, Benny, yes. It goes back a long ways, all the information that, by the providence of God, I've been able to gain. And you're right, it goes back probably over 35 years ago. It all began when I had been the pastor of a church in Florida for 12 years. Then I went to Alaska as an aviation missionary. And I heard that they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. I went to the 9 major oil companies that were going to build that pipeline, and I asked them if they didn't need a chaplain. I had heard that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on Alaska to build that 800-mile, 4-foot diameter pipeline, America's pipeline from America's oil field up on the Arctic Ocean. And they laughed at me at first and said, we never had a chaplain on a pipeline before. And I kept going back and back and back. I guess it paid off. And after a while, they said, okay, why don't you just go up there and see what you can do? They didn't even know how to give me a job description. Well, I did. And Prudhoe Bay, which is where the big oil field is, was my base point. And then I worked six camps down from there with a total of seven work camps. And I was in a different one each day. Well, it so happened that about 6 months later, I was still there, still doing what they had allowed me to go and do. And Mr. R.H. King, personnel relations man with Alyeska, called me out of Anchorage one day. And he said, Chaplain, I'd like to come to Prudhoe Bay and see you. And I said, fine. When he got there, he said, Chaplain, we never knew the value of a chaplain on a pipeline before. Said, we never had one. We didn't have the slightest idea what was going to happen. But he said, you are saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees and helping the atmosphere in the camp and dealing with the problems of the workers. And he said, we would like to offer you executive status out of appreciation for what you're doing. And I said, well, Mr. King, what do you mean by executive status? He said, well, you can go any place you'd like on the pipeline. You'll have your own vehicle. And he said, when you are at Prudhoe Bay, we would like you to stay in executive dorms at Arco Base. And he said, if you wish, any time that we're having a business meeting, we'd like to have you sit in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. Benny, I had not the slightest idea what I was getting into. For 3 years' time, I literally sat in the board meetings with the people that you hear about in the World Bank, the IMF, the top oil company officials of the world, and I heard them talk about everything that they were doing. Now, they were not in my church. I was on their oil field. And as a result, they talked just like they would normally talk. And Vinny, it changed my life. Now, keep in mind, I'd been brought up in a wonderful Christian home. I'd been the pastor of a church for 12 years. And all of a sudden, I'm thrown into the midst of people that control the world. And if I could say as emphatically as I possibly can to everyone in your audience today, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. No question about it. I sat with them. I lived with them. I got to know many of them. And I had trouble believing that day after day I was hearing them talking about controlling millions of people, controlling nations, controlling currencies, and how they did it. Literally, I will never be the same person again. Well, in the course of those 3 years, since they didn't pay me anything, I didn't feel obligated to not say what I had heard, and I wrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. But while I was there with them, I was able to make close friends with a few of them. Now, that was 35 years ago. And still today, I can pick up the telephone and call these people. They're in their 70s and 80s. They are retired. Yet, the old-time heads are still the ones who make all of the decisions behind closed doors. And over the years, these people have been willing to tell me some things that the average public didn't know, things that they decided behind closed doors, literally. As a result, I can't take credit for anything that I say. What is being given on your program today, I can't take credit for it because these people gave it to me, and I have to say that there is no way that a little insignificant, unknown missionary flying airplanes out in the bush of Alaska could have ever sat with the elite of the world for 3 years' time except by the providence of God. There is no way that that could have happened except that way. And I believe that God put me there so that I could help the world know some things in advance that these people were willing to tell me. Last year, one of these individuals who many people had heard me talk about, this elitist friend of mine that told me where gas prices were going to go, and he would tell me what was going to happen in the Middle East. And he would say, no, Chaplain, there's not going to be any crisis with Iran within the next year's time or 2 years' time. They told me almost exactly when the financial crisis was going to take place. They told me in advance what was in the health care bill. And they gave me all this information. I gave it out over radio shows. And people used to wonder, is this really for real, or are you just guessing? Well, about a year ago, one of the gentlemen passed away. He was 87 years of age. And after he died, I felt that I could give out his name. And for the first time, people heard the name of one of these individuals and could prove that he really was who I have been saying over the air all these years. His name was Mr. Ken Fromm. He was senior executive with Atlantic Richfield, was actually CEO of Atlantic Richfield at one time, and he was the chief person at Prudhoe Bay back in those days when I was on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. Today, there's another gentleman who is in his 70s who really appreciates what I did for them years ago as a chaplain. And I think more out of appreciation and admiration for the fact that I was willing to give 3 years of my life, they tell me things and still do. This one individual who has been a friend of mine now for over 30 years. And you say, how did all this come about? Well, that's the way it happened, by the providence of God. And I think the fact that I'm on your show today, Vinny, is likewise the providence of God, because one day out of a clear blue sky, you called me up many months ago and allowed me to be on your show for the first time. And all of this just happens by providence, but the providence of God. So we'll have to give him all the credit. And there are some very devastating things that people do need to know about. I would like to cover them on the course of the show today. What I'm going to cover will affect the life of every single person listening to the program. What I'd like to call it, if I can, is what's happening in the world of the elite right now. So, Vinny, where would you like us to go today, and we'll go from that direction.
Well, as I said, I wanted to kind of go back a bit before we talk about things that are happening right now and the things that will be happening in the future. Maybe we'll save that for the second hour, for the first hour, or at least for the start of the program. Again, elaborating on the energy non-crisis and what the nature of oil is. Is oil a finite resource, for example? Is oil a scarce resource?
Oil is not scarce. There is all the world in the oil that people need. I want to give you an expression. The textbooks are being rewritten right now. I hope everyone out there in your listening audience today has a pen and paper. Please write down some of the expressions I'll use, because you're going to see them in the future in headlines, and you will see them in the rewritten textbooks about crude oil in future days. Write down, if you will, abiotic oil. Let me begin with this, and then I'll go into how much oil we have right here in America. Abiotic oil. Russia, back in, I think, 72, 73, they drilled the first super deep wells ever drilled on the face of the earth. They call it Kola SG3 wells. Now, go on the internet, look this up. All of you who'd like to get this information in detail, and you'll find it fascinating. They drilled down to over 40,000 feet. That's 5 miles down. Think for a moment, if you will, that you're traveling in a commercial jet airline, and the airliner has climbed out to cruising altitude of 35 to 40,000 feet. And you look down at the ground, and what do you see? Well, that is exactly the depth of the Kola SG3 wells that Russia drilled to back in the 70s. No one had ever done that before. And when they got there, they found abiotic oil. Now, let me try to explain. there were no no trees down there. There were no creatures that had, over the years, turned into fossils and disintegrated to create oil, like the theory was many years ago. But instead, they found oil that could not have possibly existed unless it had come from some chemical reaction that was taking place down in the heart of the earth, and they still don't know what it is. But when Russia got to that depth, they struck massive amounts of crude oil. In fact, as of last year, Russia became the number one producer of crude oil on the face of the earth, bypassing Saudi Arabia. And it's all because they drilled down to that super deep well, found abiotic oil, and not oil that had been created from fossils and dead trees and so on at a much lesser depth. Now, when BP Oil Company was the first one in the free world to try to do what Russia did, and they went to the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I'm sure you're catching it already. You remember exactly what happened. BP went into the Gulf of Mexico, and they said, well, we don't have to drill the first few thousand feet because we can go to a very deep spot here, put up a rig, and drill from there down. Well, they did, but they just made one mistake. Instead of drilling on land, as Russia did, they went in the water to drill. And instead of hitting a mild pressure when they got down to 40 to 45,000 feet, they hit catastrophic wellhead pressure that had never been experienced before by any well on the face of the earth. And it literally blew the well, the rig, everything that BP had put there, it blew it out. There was nothing could hold it. They hit upwards of 40,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. And as a result, it contaminated the Gulf of Mexico, finally got into the Gulf Stream itself on the east side of Florida, and has affected the climate of all of the Scandinavian countries, England, Scotland, Ireland, and they have had some very unusual weather there this year because of the change in the temperature of the Gulf Stream. Every bit of this is because they have discovered now that crude oil does not come from fossils. It is not fossil fuel at all. Instead, it is created somehow by some chemical reaction, which they're not quite sure what it is. They think they know now, but since no one has been there, they really don't know exactly what causes this creation of this product in the heart of the earth. But
we're going to break, Lindsay. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Pastor Lindsay Williams at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Bonkers.
Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I went cocked just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. I know I care about insects and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me.
Gentlemen, on American Freedom Radio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. If you're listening on the live streams at American Freedom Radio or on an AM FM stream, in fact, we have Jack Squat, who's in the chat room there, who's got a website, who's now going to be streaming Vinnie Eastwood Show. Says there's a big buzz about me and what have you. Thank you, Jack. And my very special guest, Pastor Lindsay Williams. We were talking about abiotic oil and how it is produced by a chemical reaction in the earth, but we don't know quite what it is. If you could continue, that'd be great.
Well, Vinny, let me give you an example of what's happening to the oil just at Prudhoe, Alaska. 35 years ago, 1974, 1975, 76, they drilled and found massive amounts of oil on the Arctic Ocean, right on the land area, just short of the Arctic Ocean in northern Alaska. At the time, that field had 1,500 pounds of natural artesian pressure on it. They knew that there was a lot of oil there. They kept telling us all that oil is going to give out in probably 10, 15 years. And at the time, the oil companies were telling me, Chaplain, there is enough oil at Prudhoe Bay to last for years and years and years longer than what they say. Well, all of us stood by and watched what happens, because the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline was supposed to flow 2 million barrels of crude oil every 24 hours, and the ecologists kept saying, it's all going to be over in about 15 years. Well, here we are 35 years later, and the Prudhoe Bay oil field is still supplying that oil for the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. They said it would give out in 10 to 15 years, and it would all be over. And yet, the pipeline is still flowing that oil from Prudhoe Bay. Then, out in the Arctic Ocean, is another pool of oil that they have never even tapped into yet. And then in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, to the west of the Prudhoe Bay area, is a massive amount of crude oil that the government won't allow the oil companies to touch. But they know that there's much more there than what there was at Prudhoe Bay, where they supplied the oil for the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. So let me put it this way. My elitist friends have said to me, Chaplain, there's enough crude oil at Prudhoe Bay and on the North Slope of Alaska to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years at the projected rate of increased consumption if every other source of oil in the world were cut off to the United States of America. We have that much right there on our own soil on the North Slope of Alaska alone, and they still have not drilled down to the super deep wells as Russia did and gone into the abiotic oil supply. They have only tapped the oil supply that is well above that area, and already we have that much crude oil there. So there positively is no shortage of crude oil in the United States of America, if only they would allow the oil companies to produce it for the American people. We could have crude oil. Let me put it this way. We could have gasoline at the gas pump, 60 cents a gallon, within a matter of a few months' time, if only Washington would release its restrictions and allow America's economy to do what it is supposed to do in our free enterprise system, using our present Constitution as the guideline for allowing free enterprise to do what it should. There, the oil is there, and they have forced the non-production of it, and as a result, we've got problems, and we've got $3 and $4 a gallon gasoline, and it should not be that way. Then we've also got the Bakken oil reserve in North and South Dakota and Montana. They began producing this back about 2 years ago. They drilled in the first wells, and the oil, my friends in the oil patch, my elitist friends especially, they sent me emails back 4 and 5 years ago telling me about the amount of oil that was in North and South Dakota and Montana. And they said, we're going to produce it according to when the price of crude oil gets to where we want it to go. There's also a monstrous pool of oil under the place called Gull Island on the North Slope of Alaska. And they said, we will allow that pool of oil to also be produced whenever we get the price of crude oil where we want it to go. Now, they want the price of crude oil $150 a barrel. They want the top figure $200. They want the bottom figure $150. Then they can bring in those extra fields that they know about. But the Bakken got away from them. They started producing it and about 2 years ago in pretty good, massive way. And they thought that by now they would have created such massive crisis in the Middle East and turmoil that they would have the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel by now. But you ask, how much oil is there in America? Well, just on the North Slope of Alaska alone, there's enough to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years. Now, let me give a name. I will give some names today since you're getting into a subject that I really love talking about. Vinny, you can't imagine how much I appreciate you allowing me to talk about this background, because very seldom, usually the talk show hosts, all they want to know is what's going to happen tomorrow.
Can you tell me, Lindsay, when was the last time somebody actually brought you on to talk about this this Gull Island and energy crisis thing? When was the last time you really kind of talked about it?
Let me go back to the Gull Island find, and I presume this is what you're speaking of, is when this was known about.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, in terms of radio show hosts asking you about it.
Well, radio show hosts, all of them want me to tell them what's going to happen tomorrow. I very seldom ever get on a show where the talk show host is as kind as you're being to me today, where they let me talk about really what's out there and give technical details that my elitist friends have given me over the years and have emailed to me. And most of them want to know, where's the price of oil going to be next month? When is the crash going to take place? What's going to happen in Europe? What do your elitist friends say about the banking situation? I mean, but what you're letting me do today, really, this is where my heart is, telling just what's out there.
You know what, Lindsay? I think I get, in my profession, I get told that I'm going to die or some bad thing's going to happen to me daily. So I'm thinking, like, well, just bomb me now. Who cares? Let's talk about something that's interesting that we really love talking about and enjoy what time we have left. If something bad's going to happen to us, at least we spend the last time we had enjoying it with each other.
Well, I agree with you completely, Vinny. I have the same attitude. That's the way I live. And even though I know what's going to happen tomorrow, my latest friends have already told me those things that are going to happen 6 months to a year in advance. But, you know, I don't lose a bit of sleep at night. Doesn't bother me at all. But when I can get on a subject like you're letting me get on today, I love it. So thank you. Now, let me give some names, it'll help you to understand what's happening. About, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, a very prominent radio talk show host, Dr. Stan Monteith, he's an older gentleman. Many of them recognize him in the radio field as one of the old-timers that's given out. So anyway, he said to me one day, he said, Lindsay, you know, I've let you be on my show many times, but he said, is there any way that you can prove to me that these people that you're talking about, that you really are in touch with them? And I said, Dr. Stan, I think so. I said, let me get in touch with one of them and see if they'd be willing to talk with you on the phone. And the gentleman said to me, he said, okay, go ahead. And so I called Dr. Stan back, and I said, Dr. Stan, you called this gentleman, and I gave him his name. I said, here is his Prudhoe Bay number, and here is the week that he will be at Prudhoe Bay. And I said, give him a call. You'll get his secretary, and she'll put you through to him. Well, sure enough, he called. He heard Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, may I help you? And then he called his name, and he said yes. And he put him on the phone. And Dr. Stan asked this gentleman, who is my present informant. He's in his 70s and retired now. But he asked him, he said, Lindsay Williams has written this book, Energy Non-Crisis. And this gentleman said, I know him well. He said, we've been very good friends for many, many years. He said, but Lindsay says in his book that there is enough crude oil in Alaska to supply the United States of America for many, many years. And he said, is this really true or isn't it? And in this kind of Texas brogue, because the gentleman, I think, is either Louisiana or Texas, and he said, well, let me say it this way. He said, Lindsay has only told a part of the story. He said, there's a whole lot more up there than what he even knows about. And he said, we've got plenty of oil up here to supply America for many, many years if they would just let us produce it. Well, from that day on, Dr. Stan knew the name of the individual. He knew who he was. He could prove that he was with Atlantic Richfield. He could prove his position by going and looking him up. And it has lent great credibility to me over the years. After that, the gentleman said, no, no, no. He said, no more radio talk show hosts. He said, I'm not going to talk to him. I don't want to get in trouble. I got a good retirement. He said, why should I jeopardize anything? And he wasn't willing to talk. But that one time said everything, because now it was very easy to prove that it actually was Vinny.
Easy to prove, yeah?
Yes. Okay. So when we get into the subject of crude oil, let me touch another subject, too, that I'm sure will be quite interesting to you, and that is natural gas. When they built the crude oil pipeline across Alaska, the oil companies built a corridor and all the supports and everything necessary to put three pipelines on it. And they wanted to build two crude oil pipelines and one natural gas pipeline across Alaska. When they finished building the one crude oil pipeline, the federal government said no. The ecologists were at that time very prominent, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, all the rest of them, the tree huggers, and they said, no, don't let them do it. So they would not allow, even though the corridor's there now, it would not have affected the ecology in any manner whatsoever. They had already built this corridor to support three pipelines safely, and they said, no, you won't build any more. They were going to supply massive amounts of crude oil and natural gas. Now, let me explain why natural gas is so important. At Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, they have been pumping natural gas back into the ground for 35 years. The average American doesn't know this. They have been pumping millions of cubic feet of natural gas back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, for 35 years that comes up with the oil. When oil comes out of the ground, it doesn't come out of the ground by itself. It comes out of the ground with many other things, a lot of chemicals and so on, and one of the things that comes out of the ground with natural gas in most every field, I mean, with crude oil on most every field, is natural gas. Millions of cubic feet of natural gas. Now, natural gas is the cleanest method of generating electricity of anything on the face of the earth. It affects the ecology less than hydroelectric. It definitely does not pollute the atmosphere. It is perfectly clean. There is the natural gas that's being pumped back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. We would not need a single nuclear power plant. We could do away with all of our coal plants. There is no need whatsoever to pollute the environment with crude oil. Natural gas could be generating electricity, everything we need for the United States of America today from our own natural gas fields. Now, you go and prove this for yourself, those out there in the listening audience. Go on the web and look and see the natural gas formations at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, up on the Arctic Ocean, and you will note that they have four jet engines. Now, 747 type jet aircraft. You know how large those engines are. There are four of those that are being used to pump natural gas back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, around the clock, 24 hours a day, because they would not allow a natural gas pipeline to be built down the same corridor that had already been built, bring that natural gas to Valdez, Alaska, liquefy it, and bring it to the states to supply the clean method of generating electricity that we needed. And instead, since they can't burn it off, the government won't let them burn it off anymore like they used to years ago. You saw those flares out there. They can't do that anymore. Now they're pumping it back into the ground, millions of cubic feet every 24 hours, and we could have clean electric generation right now. Everything we need without jeopardizing our atmosphere in any manner, and we've already got it there. They just won't let it be brought to the American people, Vinny.
Talk about burying your future. Well, I think we're coming up to a break now, Lindsay, because I think, and a lot of people would say, oh, why would they do that? Why would they do that? It's just like, well, if you know anything about the Seven Sisters, if you know anything about Big Bill Rockefeller, the Primarch of the Rockefeller family, the amount of corrupt things that they did and the sweating in order to gain a monopoly over oil prices and knock out their competitions of energy generation in the first place, this would come as absolutely no surprise to you. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyexportshow.com.
Oh, yeah. know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
We go brush our teeth.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
You go sort out the recycling. That's not part of it.
That's ExxonMobil's theme song.
Next thing you know,
you say something like, I want fair oil prices and not a really overarching evil cartel controlling energy supply in the United States and the entire world and completely enslaving humanity.
But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, dominate and finance eugenics programs. That's it.
Welcome back to my very special guest, Lindsay Williams. And where were we at this last juncture before we went to break, Lindsay?
Well, we were talking about the amount of supply of natural gas that there is out there, as well as supply amount of crude oil that's out there. Let me give an example that I hope many in your listening audience will actually take the time to do their homework after I give this example and prove it to be true. Back 35 years ago, in fact, it was 1976. It was the last year of the production of the Prudhoe Bay oil field before they actually ran oil down the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. And I remember one morning I got up, walked over to Arco Base, and standing at the front door was a gentleman that I knew quite well. And he said, Chaplain, would you like to see something unusual today? And I said, well, I'm always in for unusual things. He said, come on, hop in the truck, and let's go over to West Dock. And as we rode along, he said, we have drilled into a pool of oil that we think is monstrous. He said, it's out in the Arctic Ocean. There's a little island out there. And he said, it's about 2 miles out. And he said, it's called Gull Island. I said, yeah, I've seen the drilling rig out there for some time. He said, well, Chaplain, today we're actually going to release some oil from that strata. And he said, we'll know exactly what's there. Well, we sat there at the dock for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, a big plume of something went up to the sky. He got all excited, and he cranked up his truck, and he said, let's go back to Arco Base. He said, I want to see what's actually coming in on the wires from out there at the island. When we got back to Arco Base, I'll never forget, we walked up to the second story, to Mr. Fromm's office, and when I got to the door, I stopped. I didn't dare go in. I looked in the room, and I knew who was in there because I'd been rubbing shoulders with these people for probably 2.5 years. This was the latter part of 1976, just before the oil pipeline was completed. And I looked in there, and here were the top 8 oil company officials of the world. I mean, you couldn't find any more prominent people in oil than that. And I stopped. I wanted to be invited in before I walked in that room. And finally, Mr. Fromm looked over at me, and he said, well, come on in, Chaplain. He said, it won't mind. It doesn't matter if you see this. And when I walked in, I saw excitement. And Mr. Fromm looked at me and he said, Chaplain, do you realize what you're looking at? And I said, no, I don't. He said, we have just discovered the largest pool of oil to this date ever discovered on the face of the earth. And he said, here are the statistics. And he showed me some of the details. And to the best that I could remember them, I later wrote a chapter in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. Well, all of us were excited. I was excited. The oil men were excited. I wish I had known you back in those days, Vinny. I would have called you on the phone and given a statement as to what had happened right on the spot. I wish I had done that with somebody. Because
At the time, Lindsay, I probably wasn't even a fetus.
Yeah, exactly, Vinny. I do understand you're a young fella, but you've got a lot ahead of you. Anyway, the next morning, I walked into Arco Base all excited, thinking I would see it on the front page of the Anchorage newspaper that came in on the first Wayne Airlines flights. And I'd just gotten in the door good, and the security guard called me, and he said, "Chaplain, you go up to Mr. Fromm's office and sit down." He said, "Don't you talk to anybody." He said, "We hope you haven't talked to anybody so far." And I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I don't need more talk to you. You go up there and sit down." And a few minutes, I sat down in his office, and a few minutes, Mr. Fromm walked in, closed the door, and he said, "Chaplain, I don't think I'd say too much about that for right now." He said, "That information has just been ordered classified." And I said, "What do you mean classified?" I said, "Ken, this could make America what we should be." I said, "The free enterprise system can work again." I said, "We can have gasoline 35 cents a gallon again." I said, "There's no reason for Americans not to have this oil from their own soil." And he looked at me and he said, "Chaplain, we are not going to release this oil from this Gull Island field," they called it back in those days. He said, "We are not going to release it until we have the price of crude oil where we want it to go." And I said, "Where do you want it to go?" And he refused to tell me. Well, just before Mr. Fromm died, back about a year ago, he let me know where they wanted the price of crude oil to go. Now, keep in mind, in 1976, when I saw this happen, crude oil was $32 a barrel. And we think it's high today at $90 a barrel. It was $32 a barrel, very cheap back in those days. And they told me that they wanted the price of crude oil to go where they wanted to go. They have been intentionally holding that oil back from our great American system and our country for 35 years, waiting on the price of crude oil to go where they want it to go. And they wanted it to go to $150 a barrel before they release the oil from Gull Island. Well, when I wrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, since I'd never been told, he just said, "Be careful, Chaplain. I wouldn't talk about that too much." He didn't tell me not to say it. And I wrote a chapter in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, entitled Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind. It did. It blew the mind of the oil companies that I would ever dare write that chapter. In fact, Vinny, this is so exciting today that you'll let me give all this. I haven't given this background in a long time. Mr. Ken Fromm, at the time, was not yet the CEO of Atlantic Richfield. He was only the chief person on the Prudhoe Bay oil field and was given the responsibility of producing the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field. Well, when my book, Energy Non-Crisis, came out in 1980, I had a phone call just after the book came out, and it was Mr. Fromm, and he was mad. I mean, he was fit to be tied. And he said, "Chaplain, you told about Gull Island," and he said, "The superiors at Atlantic Richfield found out that I was the one that allowed you in that room that day and to see all that information." He said, "We didn't expect you to write about it." And he said, "I am so mad." He said, "Atlantic Richfield has just fired me." Yeah, that's exactly right. 1980, 1981, Ken Fromm was actually fired from Atlantic Richfield. And he said, "Chaplain, there are a few things in your book, Energy Non-Crisis, that are not water perfect." He said, you're not an oil patch man. You're a minister. He said, "I am so angry." He said, "I've given my life, the best better part of my life, for Atlantic Richfield." And he said, "I am so angry at this." He said, "Would you allow me to rewrite your book for you?" I mean, Ken and I sat down for a number of days, and he literally rewrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, so that the oil companies have never been able to refute one single word in it. And not only did he rewrite it, but where I had written the chapter, Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind, he wrote his own chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And in it, he gave the perforations of the pipe. He gave the depth where they hit certain pressures. He gave so many things in that chapter. And then I came out with a second edition of Energy Non-Crisis. And not long after the second edition came out, I had another phone call from Mr. Fromm. And he said, "Well, Chaplain, I'm glad I helped you when I did." He said, "I won't be able to talk to you anymore for a long, long time." He said, "They found out that I wrote that chapter in your book for you, and he just came out with it." He said, "I've been hired back. I've been given a promotion." He said, "I've been given a big increase in my pension and promised many things." And he said, "They've told me that I can't talk to you anymore. So he said, I just wanted to call you and let you know. And after that, he actually gained the prominence of being the CEO of Atlantic Ridgefield and went to the very top before he retired a few years later. And the only place that it is found on the face of this earth about this monstrous pool of oil is in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And the chapter is there. The oil companies have denied it. They've tried their best to refute it, but they couldn't because Fromm himself wrote it. At the chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And for 35 years, I have been waiting for them to produce the Gull Island oil field and to give America massive amounts of crude oil. And people used to laugh at me and they'd say, oh, you didn't know what you were talking about. You just wrote that off the top of your head. But I didn't. And last summer, BP Oil Company, BP took over, bought out Atlantic Ridgefield a few years ago, and BP Oil Company last summer moved the largest oil rig that has ever been built on the face of the earth. Go on the web, please, everybody out there in the listening audience, go on the web, look up Liberty Rig, Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. You will be amazed. There's never been a rig built this large before that would handle this kind of pressure before. And they moved it there last summer and began drilling. And for the first time, they admitted that there is a monstrous pool of oil under Gull Island. So,
Well, Lindsay, we're coming up to break now. On the admission that they've got the biggest rig up there and that there is a monstrous pool, how long do you think it might take for the public to be made aware that they've been getting scammed by the oil companies all these years? We'll be right back with hour number two with Pastor Lindsay Williams in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, if you can, every single day of the week, because we have lots of really, really different people every single day, all right? You never hear from the same person twice in the same month or anything like that. We really are trying to spread the love here, spread the coverage to the people who basically have given their lives to get information out. Now, you think to yourself, how intense and how intricate would the knowledge of somebody be if they had spent the last 35 years researching something and you want to ask them specific questions, get specific answers, you want it now? Sometimes it pays just to listen to the full story, the backstory especially. Lindsay Williams, welcome back. And just before the break, we were talking about the Liberty rig, the world's largest rig ever conceived, you know, probably, I don't know, built off-world in some giant Martian industrial fabric or whatever. but I'm joking, by the way. But if they've admitted that there's such an enormous oil reserve out there, and also you said something else before, that Russia has now surpassed Saudi Arabia as the world's largest oil producer. There's two very large oil-related incidents that have happened recently that I certainly wasn't aware of, and I don't think many other people are aware of it either. So they must be trying to keep a closed lid on the media about this?
Well, they have kept Gull Island a secret for 35 years. It was in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, the only place that it appeared. After that, the information was already classified. I tried my best for 35 years, Vinny. I've been on radio shows all over the country. I've spoken in many countries of the world, and every state in America, with the exception of Maine. I've tried my best to get to every congressman I could and tell them the truth. And it's almost as if there was a wall there someplace. Oh, you're just a chaplain. You don't know what you're talking about. It's very nice, I must admit, after 35 years, to be vindicated and for people to finally be able to say, Chaplain, what you wrote in that copywritten book 35 years ago, it really is true. Now, I just hope that the American people will believe the rest of the story, of those things that I heard also in those board meetings when I sat with the oil company officials back in those days. And because of that, after 35 years, and the fact that Mr. Fromm now has passed away and that there's not too many out there that can give me a problem, I decided recently that I had to tell it all. And as a result, I produced a new DVD series entitled Secrets of the Elite, in which I give many, many, many of the secrets that the elite know, that people need to know. Everybody in Washington is bought and paid for. All I can say is, when this next election comes up in November, any congressman who has been there for over two terms ought to be kicked out and run and sent back home. And somebody new that's willing to believe what's really going on in this world should be put up there. We could have gasoline within 6 to 9 months. It'd take that long to produce it, but we could have gasoline 60 cents a gallon. We can have back our great American dream again. There is no reason for us not to. Now, any of those of you who are hearing this for the first time, my book, Energy Non-Crisis, went out of print about 2 years ago. And people, it had been a bestseller for some years, and people just said, oh, Pastor, we've got to have it. Well, I wasn't really willing to reprint because people don't read books like they used to. But we did make it available for just a matter of a very small amount. If you want to go to Amazon Kindle, you can actually read two of my books that were out of print. One was Energy Non-Crisis, another is To Seduce a Nation, in which I tell what's happening, how the elite think, and how they operate. Now, that Liberty rig was moved. The largest, please, all of those out there in the listening audience, it won't take you but a moment to do it. Go on the web, look up Liberty Rig, Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, BP Oil Company. You'll find it. You'll actually see the pictures of the largest oil rig that has ever been produced on the face of the earth that was moved to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska last summer, and they began drilling. BP Oil Company is trying to do what Russia did. You heard me correctly. They tried it in the Gulf of Mexico, but they did it in the water instead of on land. They made a horrible mistake. As a result, caused all the problems that they did in the Gulf of Mexico and polluted it and the Gulf Stream.
Maybe it wasn't a mistake.
What was that, Benny?
Maybe it wasn't a mistake, Lindsay. Maybe they intended to do that huge damage.
No, they didn't. And let me say that emphatically, because immediately after the blowout in the Gulf of Mexico, I got on the phone with my elitist friend. And he said positively, Chaplain, he said, this was not intentional. He said, this was an accident. Russia, when they drilled down 40,200 and something feet with that coal, that deepest coal SG-3 well back in the 70s, they never hit massive amounts of pressure, wellhead pressure. BP thought that they would find the same thing that Russia found, and their rig was not prepared to handle 40,000 pounds per square inch of pressure, and because of it, it literally blew everything out of the water. The Gulf of Mexico was not intentional, let me assure you. According to all my elitist friends who were talking to me back in those days, they did not do that intentionally. They didn't want that to happen. They wanted to produce that oil. Now,
you know about,
they know that the next... place that they can drill that there is massive amounts of crude oil, and BP is trying to get in on it again, is the Gull Island field in Alaska. They have known that oil was there. They are going deeper than they went back in 1976. This time, the Liberty rig is prepared to go down to the abiotic oil, which is 40,000 feet and more. And something very strange happened. So everyone out there in your audience, please, I hope you have those pencils ready, because I want you to go look this up. I want you to prove it for yourself and see just how we have been deprived of our natural gas, our crude oil. They have intentionally controlled our economy by the price of crude oil, and it is an atrocity. And every congressman should be held accountable, because they know this oil is there. They've known it for years. People have gone before Congress and explained to them. And my book is out there if they'd wanted to read it and believe it. And we have been betrayed. There's treason involved, literally treason involved in this, because it has affected our economy so much. Now, just a matter of days ago, I received an email from my elitist friend, and he said, "Chaplain, the Liberty rig on Gull Island," he said, "is stopped drilling." Oh, I was amazed. I didn't know what to think. I immediately got on the phone with him, and what I found out is so startling. Until that's the reason I said, please have those pencils and paper ready. What was just a simple email from this retired elitist, former with Atlantic Richfield, turned into something so big that it literally encompasses nations and events. Here's what happened. The Liberty rig at Prudhoe Bay was designed to have that field brought in at about the same time that the price of crude oil went to $150 a barrel. And that's what I was told back 2 or 3 years ago, that they wanted the price to be at $150 a barrel before they brought that field in. And when they moved the Liberty rig up there, they were likewise creating in the Middle East the problems that they were creating for the purpose of getting the price of crude oil to that $150 a barrel figure. I knew that they had not done it yet, and I was wondering why they had not. And so when he told me that the Liberty rig had stopped drilling just a matter of days ago, and by the way, you'll find this, and when you go on the web, I want you to look at the statement that BP Oil Company makes. In fact, this is so, the wording is so designed that they even copyrighted the article. And when you go on the web, you'll see BP's announcement that they have stopped drilling with the Liberty rig temporarily. But the real truth of the matter is, when I got in touch with my elitist friend, they shut it down intentionally for two reasons. Number one, they have failed in creating the crisis in the Middle East that they wanted to create as fast as they thought they would create it. And with the chaos that they were going to create in the Middle East, they were going to get the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel, so that, again, the same thing they've always done, they are the winners and the American public is the loser. Now, I want you to go and look at two things on the web. Number one, look at BP Oil Company's statement about the Liberty rig. Number two, please look up retired General Wesley Clark. He has a speech now on the web, on YouTube. Please, it's so important. These are the things that my elitist friend gave me. And when you see all of this open up, what I'm going to say in the next few moments, you are going to, I don't know what you're going to do. I hope that it enrages some of you. I want you to go and look up retired General Wesley Clark's YouTube presentation, in which he says that he walked into our State Department one day, and it was casually told to him that we were going to overthrow certain nations. Now, I didn't know this. I had not seen his presentation until the other day. Now, I knew that this was going to happen, because you remember about a year and a half ago when the first crisis took place in Egypt and Mubarak was deposed and they were going to give Egypt to the Muslim Brotherhood. And I went to my elitist friend and I said, what in this world are you doing in the Middle East? I said, there's something going on over there that you haven't told me. And he said, Chaplain, we are going to overthrow these nations in this order. Please, this is so important, folks. He gave me the order in which the elite of the world were going to work in conjunction with our State Department to overthrow the governments of these countries. And he said the first country that will be overthrown is Egypt. Mubarak will be deposed, and we're giving Egypt to the Muslim Brotherhood in order to begin the process of creating chaos in the Middle East. And he said, we've got to get the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel. Now, a year and a half ago, I produced my DVD series entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. If you haven't seen it, please. Many of the things are still taking place right now. And I was given the order in which they would overthrow the nations in order to create the chaos, and the last nation that they said that they would take over was Saudi Arabia. I know this sounds bizarre, but if you must listen to retired General Wesley Clark when he went into the State Department, and they told him the same order. And I gave it in my DVD presentation a year and a half ago and didn't even know. I had never seen General Wesley Clark's presentation or speech yet. And he was told the nations that they were going to overthrow. My elitist friend gave me the nations that would be overthrown for the purpose. And the last nation that General Wesley Clark mentions is Saudi Arabia. I was laughed at on many radio talk shows when I gave this a little over a year ago and said that Saudi Arabia eventually would have civil war, would be overthrown by terrorists, and would eventually the price of crude oil from our number one supplier abroad, which is Saudi Arabia, would be cut off. And I said they're doing it in order to be able to bring in America's oil fields at $150 a barrel. And when I saw General Wesley Clark's presentation, I was utterly dumbfounded. I must admit, cold chills almost ran up and down my back. I said he saw the exact same thing that my elitist friend told me back then. Now, here's the order. Here's the problem. Here is why the Liberty rig stopped drilling a matter of days ago, is because of, you ready? Syria. Assad was supposed to have done exactly what happened to Mubarak in Egypt. He was supposed to have given in. The elite are approximately 2 months behind because of Libya, and Gaddafi didn't cave under as fast as they thought he would. And, of course, as you notice, Egypt and Libya were to be turned over to the Muslim Brotherhood. I predicted this, that my elitist friend told me it was going to happen. Then I said the next country is Syria, and they were going to overthrow Assad and in turn create massive chaos in Syria. Assad didn't give in the way they thought he would, and it has set the elite back approximately 6 months in Syria, 2 months in Libya, so that means they're approximately 8 months behind. They did not want the Liberty rig to drill through the strata into the abiotic oil and give the announcement until after they had gotten the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel, so they stopped it for drilling temporarily until they can take over the Middle East the way they want it in the order that my elitist friend told me a little over a year ago, and General Wesley Clark said in his presentation that they would, but then they will start drilling with the Liberty rig again. There's a second reason why they stopped drilling with the Liberty rig. It happened in the Gulf of Mexico that they hit a wellhead pressure. It was so catastrophic they couldn't control it. And believe me, it was not intentional. It literally blew everything out. They have gotten down to the point now at Gull Island that they haven't gone through the strata yet. They don't want to go through it until the Middle East is in utter chaos. And maybe even the Strait of Hormuz closed down. And this is frightening. I'll talk about that in a moment. And the
We're coming to
the
break,
second
Lindsay.
Reason they have stopped drilling is because they realize now.
We're coming to a break, Lindsay. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll find out the second reason they stopped drilling with the Liberty rig at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Show broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com on AMFM stations across the USSR. Oh, sorry, USSA. The unfortunate states of affairs. there's just so much bad stuff going down. Have you noticed? You know, there's bad stuff going on in every direction you look, and the key is not to just stop looking because you don't want to experience any of the bad stuff. The key is to put it into context. For example, if you're really, really terribly afraid about oil companies and cartels and stuff like that coming to attack you for what you're saying or something of that nature, imagine yourself in terms of strategic positioning. Are you somebody who actually poses a real threat to the establishment? Are you somebody who, if you gotten rid of, would simply disappear and nobody would notice? Or are you somebody with a large profile? Somebody who has a following kind of thing? People who would notice and question and figure out something if there was any dodginess at all. A lot of people I find out there are just getting into things for the first time, and they stop getting into it deeper because they think that they're really, really important and that they will become a target. I'm sorry. Well, that happens to very, very few of us where we happen to be, as Lindsay puts it, by the providence and God, in the position to be that person. All right, Lindsay, welcome back. And we wanted to expand also on the second reason you said why they stopped drilling with the Liberty rig.
Vinny, thank you again for allowing me to be on your show today. And, you know, I'm just having the time of my life because you're letting me do something that's really close to my heart, and that is talk about the experiences that I've had with the elite from the time that I was actually invited to be their chaplain for a 3-year period and come down then to where we are right now and tell you what's happening that actually has been in the planning stages for 30 to 35 years. And this Liberty rig that was moved to Gull Island at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, just out in the Arctic Ocean last summer, and is drilled away for a year, and then they stopped drilling here just the other day. They are attempting to do again what BP Oil Company failed to do in the Gulf of Mexico. BP wants to get in on massive amounts of profit, just as Russia did when they drill their coal SG3 wells, and they've been the first one to have the massive amounts of money, billions and billions of dollars, to be able to do. They have already put over $1 billion into the Liberty rig and the drilling that they've done over the past year at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. They know they're going to hit a major oil find up there, and they have decided to go down to the depth of abiotic oil, surpassing the oil at lesser depths. And
Lindsay, can I ask you just something quickly?
Have a major wellhead pressure whenever they go through that strata. And because of that, they have stopped long enough to beef up the Liberty rig, make it stronger. They're expecting upwards of 40,000 pounds per square inch, which they hit in the Gulf of Mexico. And when they do, the oil textbooks for the colleges are going to have to be rewritten about abiotic oil, because now both Russia and BP will have gone into this massive amounts of crude oil that's been formed by some chemical process in the heart of the earth. And now what they're finding out is that this oil, over all of these years, has seeped up into the oil fields that we have been discovering for years, which are only at a much less depth, and that's where it's all come from originally anyway, was from this massive whatever it is that's way down there in the heart of the earth, Benny.
So it's like an ocean underneath the crust of oil, basically, that's being produced somehow. And I wanted to also inquire about the competition Russia is posing and stuff like that. Who's financing it? Because I heard about Howard Hughes and how basically the only reason why he got so rich is because of his manufactured drill bit designs, which nobody else could buy a drill bit. They all had to lease them from him or something like that. And that the world's oil supplies basically got taken over by this Seven Sisters cartel, as they say, the BPs, the Dutch Royal Shells, things like that. I wanted to know, in Russia, who was doing all that drilling and who's profiting from all of their abiotic oil profits?
Russia as a country was the only one that could possibly have afforded to go down to such a super depth because it took such a long time to get down there. Now, there's a little bit more to this also, because Mr. Putin was up for re-election, as you remember, not too long ago, and everybody was trying their best to depose him and to scandalize him. They couldn't. There was no way they could touch him. Maybe I'm sticking my neck out here, but maybe I should at the same time. Back about... 2.5 years ago, I was wondering if there was any way, with all the people that I'd come to know in the oil patch, if there was maybe some possibility that I might be able to personally, through a few friends of mine, broker some crude oil. At least it was a method to be able to support the family, and so I gave some thought to it. Oh, my goodness, did I find out some things. So we were trying to find a source for the oil that we could buy, and we were trying to find a place to sell it. Oh, I didn't do it, by the way. And I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole now. But back then, I just thought I'd see what I could do with it. We found out that Mr. Putin is really the main force behind the Russian oil that many of the refineries he personally owns, that if you want any oil out of Russia, you must go through Mr. Putin in order to get it. And what we found out was actually scary, because now BP is trying to get in on what Russia did. They failed in the Gulf of Mexico, and if they're able to succeed on this big oil field at Gull Island at Prudhoe Bay, then BP will probably become head and shoulders above everybody else in the world in oil production and be able to be filthy rich with what they're going to do. And, of course, BP is British Petroleum. It's not even an American oil company. It's British. And the Congress of the United States of America, you remember about 5 or 6 years ago, the Congress of the United States of America allowed BP Oil Company to buy out Atlantic Richfield. The east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field, when I was there, was produced by Atlantic Richfield. The west side of the field was produced by BP. BP was allowed by the Congress of the United States of America to buy out Atlantic Richfield a few years ago. I went on radio shows all over America. I screamed, I hollered, I kicked. I said, don't do it. Don't allow Congress to do it. It's treason. You can't allow an American oil company to be bought by a British oil company. They did. And now BP, British Petroleum, is going to drill into that monstrous pool at Gull Island that Atlantic Richfield found many years ago. And when they produce it, are basically going to be doing the same thing that Russia's doing. And the reason that Mr. Putin can stay in office and have the power he has is because he has his hands on the strings, purse strings, of the oil of Russia. And that is a story within itself, Benny.
It is, it is. And also, incidentally, Putin's what, former head of the KGB, kind of like President George H.W. Bush was former head of the CIA. And it kind of occurs to me that how much of an intelligence operative do you have to be, like, just in terms of qualification, in order to become the leader of a country? You either have to be a financial intelligence operative, in some cases, you know, be able to mix people up with a whole lot of financial gobbledygook and mixed messages so that they don't know that you're ripping them off. or you kind of have to be the best actor in the world and let everybody know exactly what they want to hear whilst you're taking everything from them that they've ever worked hard for.
Well, we have the best actor in the world in Washington right now. And he was able to deceive the American people into believing that he had the capability of being the leader of the greatest country on the face of this earth. And the whole world is laughing at us. I don't think the American has the slightest idea how much the world holds America in disrepute right now because of the mamby-pamby, panty-waist leadership that we have in Washington, D.C. I know it because I'm in touch with people abroad on a regular basis, as well as across this country and with my elitist friends. So let me bring up a subject that, again, had it not been for my elitist friends, I would have never known it. I'm going to make somewhat of a prediction. You remember that they wanted to put a pipeline across Canada. And our present president was supposed to make a decision as to whether he was going to allow it or not allow it. And he turned it down. Only a few days after that, I was on the phone with my elitist friend, and I have never heard him so angry. He was livid. And I said, what's the matter? He said that, and he called the president all kind of names. He said, he double-crossed the elite. I said, what are you talking about? Now think back, everybody in the listening audience, you think for a moment. You remember that the president, said, I'm going to announce whether I'm going to approve or disapprove of that Trans-Canada pipeline. Now, the elite had to have that pipeline. They needed it to bring the oil from the Gull Island field once they go through it. And he made the statement, our president did, he said, I'll announce on a certain date as to whether I'm going to approve or disapprove the Trans-Canada pipeline. And he waited. He didn't make the announcement. Oh, this is very important. He waited. He waited a week. He waited 2 weeks. About 2 weeks later, after he had said he would make the announcement, he made the announcement, oh, it wouldn't be to the welfare, the best of the American people. It just wouldn't be to our welfare to do that. I'm going to say that we're not going to allow that pipeline. America's not going to take part in it. We won't have any part in it. We're not going to allow it to come into America. Oh, my gracious. Why a two-week delay? When I got on the phone with my elitist friend, and he was so angry, he said, Chaplain, the President of the United States of America made the decision he made. He said, he double-crossed us. We need that pipeline across Canada. He said, he double-crossed the elite in favor of his Muslim friends. At this point, I was dumbfounded because this man, now, this is a retired executive of Atlantic Richfield. He knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. He said, Chaplain, and now I'm going to give you his exact statement. He said, Chaplain, President Obama is a Muslim. And I was speechless.
That's been admitted? That's been admitted. In fact, there's been videos come out of his wife, Michelle Obama, talking in, Kenya to a Muslim audience, talking about our religion, and him also speaking in, I think it might have been Saudi Arabia, in Mecca or something like that, saying and our religion and how we view God and stuff like that, akin with the audience. So, yeah, of course. I mean, that's not broadcasted, of course. And more to the point, you know, you take Kevin Barrett, for example, of Truth Jihad Radio, who was on just before we were on today, and you think, being a Muslim, it doesn't necessarily make you an evil person, but if you're an evil person, God can't help you if you're a Muslim.
Yes, it does. And here's what he did. He waited 2 weeks. He needed the support of all of his Muslim brethren. They gave millions and millions of dollars to his last campaign. He needed promises from them for this next campaign. And he intentionally delayed for 2 weeks on his decision, as my elitist friend told me, in order to give them time to come across with the promises of what they would do for his next campaign and in favor of his Muslim Brotherhood brethren, Mr. Obama, double-crossed the elite. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm not saying that Mr. Obama is or is not going to get elected, but I'll put it this way. The elite are so angry at Obama because he has double-crossed them more than once. And he's done a lot of things that they wanted. They wanted the health care bill through. They wanted many other things done. And he's done them. He has done many things they wanted and has favored them in many ways. But he's also very erratic. He can't even make a statement without his teleprompter. He gets himself into every kind of tight imaginable. He is totally unprofessional. And the elite are very professional. They are so angry at this man right now until they may not. I didn't say they weren't going to, but my elitist friend said to me, he said, we are so upset at this man, we may not allow him to be president again. Now, about 2 weeks ago, go back and look at the Washington Post, one of the most liberal media presentations, in America. And the Washington Post, about 2 weeks ago, came out with the most scandalous article I have ever seen against Mr. Obama, calling him every name imaginable. And when I saw that, I said to myself, the elite are finally beginning to take action to see to it that they might not allow him to become president again. If the national media turns against him, he's done for.
Coming out to break, Lindsay. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll find out what's going to happen with Obama's re-election or beheading. We'll be right back.
look at me, driving, and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now the final segment of today's show. Just like they say in the movie 2012, I wish we had more time with Pastor Lindsay Williams. Now, Lindsay, I don't know if there's anything you want to... you know how sometimes in movies a character will go into a church and they'll go into the confession chamber or whatever to confess their sins and what have you. I wonder if there's anything you'd like to share with me or with the audience or anything like that personally about you that... kind of, I don't know, something that maybe people just really don't know or something that explains a little bit more about you. I'm not sure what I'm asking for here, but I'm not sure if you know what I mean either.
Well, Benny, I do. I definitely understand what you're saying. Yes, there is something I'd like to share. You know, I feel so honored that God would allow me by his providence to have lived with these people years ago for 3 years. I did not go to Alaska for the purpose of being on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. I went there to be a missionary. And I'd been flying airplanes for years, had worked with missionaries in the Bahamas and West Indies while I was a pastor in Florida. And when I went to Alaska, I went there solely for the purpose of helping people. And then when the pipeline came along, I saw another opportunity to help people and to win people to Christ. And when I went through the pipeline, I did not look for what I found. But, you know, when I look back over these years, I am so thankful that God allowed me by his providence to be put in a position that I never sought after, never wanted, and to be allowed this for the privilege of being on your show today and others just like you, because I'm able to tell the American people things that will save them heartache. Right now, every person in your listening audience realizes that we have no shortage of crude oil, that we could have gasoline at 60 cents a gallon again, that we can have back our great American dream again. You realize that our State Department has so perverted and has been so overtaken by the elite that they are overthrowing nations in the Middle East for the purpose of getting the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel. And it should enrage you when you go to the voting booth in November. And you want to do something about it. Knowing these facts and issues, then you can take action. Now, I want to make two possible predictions. In light of what you just said, you'd like me to tell some personal things. I would like every person out there to keep a very close eye on what happens in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is under the gun of the elite at this point because they wanted to get the price of crude oil to $150 a barrel. And I predict that you're going to begin to see discord and confusion and some civil unrest internally in Saudi Arabia. And it is all created through our own State Department. It is an atrocity. And when you view retired General Wesley Clark's on YouTube and see that it's the same thing that the elite told me a few years ago, you will realize that we have taken on as a nation to go and overthrow other nations. You know, if any other nation in the world came to America and said, Bill President's got to go. You can't do this any longer. We're going to take your nation over. We would raise the roof. But yet we go and do those things in other countries. So I consider it such a privilege that God allowed me to know these things years ago so that I can help the American people to know it. Now, Vinny, so that all of the story can be told, the rest of the story really, everyone who would like to know intricate details and minute things about the elite and understand them, you know, there's only one way that we can overcome these people. And they can be overcome, by the way. We can have back the great American dream. I'm not giving up by any stretch of the imagination. These people are going to lose. But the only way you're going to be able to do it is if you understand their thought patterns and their mindset. And I have just produced, a few weeks ago, a 3.5-hour DVD series. There are 3 DVDs in the series. It's entitled Secrets of the Elite. No one has ever told these things before. I learned them because I lived with them and because I've had contact with them for 35 years, and I dared to tell it. Secrets of the Elite is everything that you will need to know about these people, to know their mindset, their thought patterns, their buzzwords, to be able to interpret what they're seeing through the films that come out of Hollywood. And all of this will help you so much. And because so much has happened in the Middle East, and oil prices just began to go up again, I produced only a few days ago a CD, which we are giving with the Secrets of the Elite DVD series. Whenever you order it, you will get the CD with it. It's 1 hour and 12 minutes long, and I bring you up to date as to right now, today, as to what the elite told me recently when they said, Chaplain, you need to do these particular things in your own life for the protection of your household, your wife, and your children. And they said, Chaplain, we're just advising you to do this. And I have passed on to you what they have advised me for the safety of my own family in light of what they're doing and what's taking place in the world. So, Vinny, you might call it maybe a confessional. I don't know how we'd like to say it, but I feel so honored to be on your show today and to have been allowed. And I say aloud, because there's no way in this world that, I'm just an ordinary, everyday guy. I put on my britches like you do every morning. There's nothing special about me. It's just that by the providence of God, I happen to be in the right place by His design to know these things and to be able to pass them on to listening audiences like we have on American Freedom Radio today and your program, Denny. And I am so thankful that you would allow me to go into some different things today that normally talk show hosts don't allow me to go into, so that I could kind of express some of my heart. And I've tried to do just that in the course of your show today, Vinny.
Well, you know, Lindsay, this is what I do for everybody. And I also want to know if you want to go on other talk shows, because I've got about maybe a dozen fellow radio show hosts of friends, and we formed the Vinny Eastwood Radio Alliance. So with your permission, I'd like to pass your details on to them so that you could go on their shows as well, if you'd be willing.
Vinny, I would welcome the opportunity. I will go on any show. I will speak anywhere in order to be able to get the truth out. So those of you who are listening today to Vinny's program, please listen every day. I heard him suggest this earlier, and I know some of the other guests that he has on his show. You listen every day. Get the very latest of what's happening in the last 24 hours. Now, please jot down the following number for me, if you will. our toll-free number if you wish to get Secrets of the Elite along with the CD, which you can play in your automobile as you drive down the road, which we're giving you because I had to update it even after we produced it a few weeks ago. Our toll-free number is 1-888-799-6111, or you can go on the web to the fulfillment house that handles my materials, and it's prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com, or toll-free, 888-799-6111. Just produced Secrets of the Elite 3.5-hour DVD that you watch on your television in your home, and an hour and 12-minute CD that brings you right up to date of what's happening. And, Vinny, any of your talk show host friends, I would welcome the opportunity to tell the truth in order to be able to turn America around and, at the same time, inform people of things that will save them great heartache. You don't have to lose sleep at night, but you need to know the issues. There's no need to look behind bushes and watch for black helicopters. I sleep quite well. I travel and don't worry about it. If you know the issues, you can sleep well at night. And that's where Vinnie Eastwood's show comes in, and that's where, by the providence of God, I've had the opportunity to try to be able to help you know the facts. So, yes, Vinnie, I would appreciate the opportunity to be on any shows that you want to recommend me to.
All right, I'm going to pass you around like my mates like a bag of Oreos then. And also, speaking of allowing you something to do that you like very much, being a pastor and what have you, we only have about maybe a minute left in the show, so if you'd like to close it off with some description of prayer or well wishes for all the listeners and stuff out there, go for your life.
Vinny, I would love to. You are, I like you better by the show. You are so kind. You know, all these things I've said today, don't allow them to frighten you. One of the things that the elite want to do is instill fear in you, because fear shuts down the mind and makes people a vegetable. Don't do that. Don't ever fear. If your house is built on a solid rock, you have nothing to be afraid of. You know, all the things I've said today, do one thing first, if you will, please. Know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Be sure that the Bible is your guide. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in what you do. And whenever your house is on a solid rock, you can stand every storm that comes your way. And the floods cannot bother that house if it's solid on the rock of Christ Jesus. So I would welcome the opportunity to pray in closing the program today. Our Father, which art in heaven, we ask for leading and guiding the heart of every person, Vinnie Eastwood as the talk show host, and every person listening today on American Freedom Network. I pray that you will give them guidance in their lives, that they can be victorious. We ask that you would help to turn this nation around again to the principles of which our founding fathers founded. And we commit to you all of these things, guiding these people so that they need not fear. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. And if you like the style that we do this here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com or this show, where there's lots of other really good shows on this network who have fabulous guests, as well as Lindsay Williams and my show and what have you, so please visit the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can subscribe for $5, $10, $20 a month. You can make a donation of $200 for the year. We'll give you access to commercial-free archives, and you can have a chat with me if you want. We'll be having a chat after the show on Skype, so go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com chat room now, and we'll talk to you in a minute.